because I believe a man is supposed to take care of his woman. I don't care how much money your woman make. A man is supposed to have his mind set on taking care of his woman.
Let's talk. I mean, this, you know, this may be a bit crude, but I mean, I don't know no other way to say it. I want to talk about booty calls. Good evening. Good evening. Hope everybody's doing good. I wanted to chime in real quickly. Lisa and I have some things we have to do this evening, but I had this on my mind and I wanted to break in and to share it with you. Hopefully my connection, my signal is good. I started a discussion the other night. I think it was entitled, Are You Ready for Love? And we dealt with a few things, and I want to kind of expand on this thought tonight really quickly, because as I said the other night, everybody wants to be in love. Everybody wants a great relationship. Everybody wants to be married. Everybody wants to have that soul mate. Everybody wants that. And it's natural, you know, it's natural. It's natural for people to desire that. But it is also unwise to desire that, to desire to have that before you're ready. I remember when I was a kid, I had to be maybe 12, 13 years old at the most. And I wanted to drive so bad. And, my father would leave the car and I knew where the keys were. And one day I just decided I want to drive this car so bad. Nobody had trained me. Nobody had taught me. I felt like I knew what I was doing. Of course, didn't have a license. And I took the car and I drove the car. And I guess I drove the car for about 2 or 3 miles. Thank you, Ms. D. I guess I drove the car for about 2 or 3 miles, and I was a block and a half away from my home and being able to park the car without anybody ever knowing that I had taken the car. I wanted to drive so badly. And I came to a point on my block where this was on a Saturday, but at this particular point, a block and a half away from my house, rather, there was a car on this side of the street and a car directly on that side of the street. And another car was coming, so I didn't know what to do. You know, I didn't think to hit on brakes and to stop and to let the other guy through. So I rushed through and I hit one of our neighbor's car, and I panicked and I drove to my house and I parked across the lawn. I wanted to drive, but I wasn't ready to drive. And there are many of you that say you want a relationship, but you've really not taken the time to stop and to ponder, what does that mean? And am I emotionally, am I spiritually, physically, financially, am I prepared for this? You know? And so I want to continue this thought line tonight. You can go back and watch the previous video on the first one. This is part two, Are You Ready for Love? And here's the first question I have. Are you strong enough to make your own choice about a mate over the opinions of family and or friends? Are you strong enough to make your own choice about a mate or a partner over the opinions of family and or friends? You'd be amazed at how many relationships are sabotaged because people are not independent of their families or their friends. And so if the family or if the friends don't approve, it distracts and disturbs the chemistry. Is it Marth Manthes? Thank you. Thank you so much. If the family and the friends don't approve, it disturbs the chemistry of the relationship. And the reality is, If you still have an umbilical cord attached to your family and friends to the point that their opinion supersedes or overrides what you know about the person or what you fundamentally believe about the person, you're not mature enough. You're not man enough, nor are you woman enough to actually be engaged in a relationship. You're just not. And you make for a horrible choice for some other person to tie themselves to you and then wake up and realize that they are not only married to you, but they're married to your mama, your brothers, your daddy, your stepdaddy, your cousins, your best friend. They got all of these other people to contend with and not just you. And if you're that attached to your family and friends, you're not ready for love. Now, you may think you are, but what you're probably searching for is sex. You're not really searching for love. You're not really searching for a relationship, because you can only have a relationship when you're an individual. And as long as you're attached to your family and your friends and they rule and drive your thought process relative to relationships and relative to your own personal life, you're not an individual. You're part of a commune. And you can't really engage a relationship, a real love affair, until you are an individual. Now, that does not say, well, you know, we discount the wisdom of our people, of our family and our friends. But you have to know the difference between them giving you wisdom versus them giving you your thought. You know, there's a difference between them giving you wisdom versus them ruling your life and manipulating and controlling your life from the platform of we are family. Right? And the Bible does say in Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. Now, of course, I would assume that if a man is leaving his father and mother, he got to be leaving his friends, his BFFs, and his homies, and she got to leave her BFFs and all of this other kind of stuff. And then the Bible says, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. If you're not ready to leave and to cleave, you're not ready for love. Not in terms of a relationship. Not in terms of a relationship. And there's no sense in you tying somebody else up into your confusion, into your family friendship drama, because nobody else deserves that. You know, I don't deserve, thank you, Micah. I don't deserve to be tied up into your life and, you know, wake up and realize that I'm really contending with 15 of y'all. And any of them at any point and in any given time can call you and say something about me, and it shifts the temperature in our relationship. And that's what goes on when you're not strong enough to make your own choices. You know what I mean? Because think about it. If you don't mature, and if you don't grow up to a point where you can stand on your own two feet and make a sound, solid decision about your relationship. When I say sound and solid, I mean you're smart enough to be able to discern between what's dysfunctional, what's abusive. You know, if you're in an abusive situation, obviously your family and your friends are going to be, you know, hyper aggressive towards trying to shift you. But if you're a well-adjusted person and you can make sound decisions, you have to get to a point where you're strong enough to stand on that. Thank you, Grace. Because you'll have parents many times that just don't want to let you go. You know, you'll have family, you'll have mothers that are overly, clingy. You'll have fathers that don't want to release their daughters. And it has absolutely nothing to do with the other person or their worthwhileness. It has everything to do with the fact that your people just don't know how to let you go. Many of them have not come to a place where they really see you as an adult. They still see you as their little girl, their little boy. And so they make up all kinds of stuff. Something wrong with him, something wrong with her. And the reality is nothing's wrong with these people in many cases, but you have to grow up to a point, Elena, thank you. You have to grow up to a point where you're able to say, I'm a man, I'm a woman, and I value your wisdom, I value your opinion. I thank you for covering me and protecting me and loving me like this. But this is a decision that I have to make, you know? This is a decision that I have to make. Because you can have a man, for instance, if you're a woman in a family, you can have a man that's a godly man. He can be a loving man, a respectful man, a working man. But for your family, he may not make enough money. You know, if he had another zero on there, he'd be all right. He works every day. He's up. He has good credit. He's doing his own thing. He takes care of himself. He respects you. He loves you. All of that. But for them, he just doesn't make enough money. Well, at that point, you got to be man. You got to be woman enough to make your own decision. You can't let people just interfere. If you let people interfere to that degree relative to the choice of your mate, they'll be putting their fingers in your relationship for the duration, which probably wouldn't be that long. Because a relationship is not designed to be created, nor is it designed to be managed with all of these outside opinions. A relationship is designed to be developed and to be nurtured from the inside out, not the outside in. Nobody should be able to speak into a relationship, right? So are you strong enough to make your own choice over the opinions of family and of friends? Are you able to draw a line of distinction and separate yourself, your thoughts from their thoughts, you know, being able to process the true wisdom they give you versus their opinions, being able to process the true wisdom they give you. Thank you, Leslie, versus their opinions, you know, oh, he ugly. Well, that's, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Yeah, he rich and everything, and he love God, and he respect you and everything, but he ugly. He ugly. I wouldn't marry him. He gonna make some ugly babies. Well, okay. You know, that's just you trying to hold on to me. Then sometimes in some of the more dysfunctional families, if you're not strong enough to make your own choice, a lot of times they're trying to discourage your would-be relationship because they don't want to lose their ties to your purse string. When you're financing a whole lot of stuff for your family and our friends, a lot of times you'll find they'll give you every reason why you shouldn't accept this woman or accept this man. And it really has nothing to do with the individual. It has nothing to do with them wanting the best for you. It has everything to do with the fact that they don't want to lose your contribution to their personal economy. These are realities that we face every day. You see, number two, are you ready for love? Number two, have you truly detached from your past relationships? Woo! If y'all can share this, share it. Give me some thumbs. What is it? Likes? I think it is. They say I should say to you, give me some likes, and I think that's the symbol of the thumb down below. But number two, have you truly detached from your past relationships? Because here's the reality, y'all. A lot of people are in pursuit of a relationship, trying to get over a relationship. It's not necessarily that you really love this person as much as you feel like you need something new to help you get through. Thank you, Danny. You need something new to help you get through the pain you're feeling from the previous situation. This speaks of when we say, you know, have you detached from the past relationship? This speaks of purging your soul. Have you purged your soul of desires for the former individual? You know, You're not ready for love if you're still sitting up there dreaming about another man all night that is no longer in your life, physically in your life, but in your mind, he never leaves you. And then you're trying to engage another man. You're going to bring another man into that drama. And you know you're still wrestling with all of this stuff in your spirit. You're not ready. You're not ready. And you're not doing this new man or this new woman a good service to tie them up into your soul tie. Because your soul needs to be purged of the desires for this former man or this former woman. And you know that you're still attached when you're still on their Facebook page, or, you know, you haven't blocked them on this, you haven't blocked them on that. You're still asking about them when you get around mutual friends. You have a whole new man, but you're still over here in the corner asking so-and-so about how's he doing, what's he doing, what's his new woman like, you know, what's she all about? And that's not your business. That shouldn't even be your concern. And the reason that you have to have these conversations behind your man's back is because you know that it's disrespectful, and it points to the fact, thank you, Ms. Doreen, thank you. And it points to the fact that you're not over him. And you're trying to use another man, this man, to get over that man. Mm-mm. Speaks of purging your soul of desires for the individual. And it also speaks of growing beyond your weaknesses to succumb to the other person's pursuits. Because sometimes this person or these people have not completely left your life. They just hang around, and whenever they want to come around, they come around, and you're so weak that you give in to them. And this is how you find yourself in a situation where you've created a whole new relationship and you're cheating on the side. It's because you never really detached from that soul tie before you tried to create a whole new situation. The situation that you fell in lust with is preventing you from walking in love with the right person. And because you've not taken care of your homework, now you're flunking the test in terms of relationship. And it has you out here looking like a certain kind of woman that you're really not. It's just that you're living out of order. That's not really who you are. If people are just to judge it based on the optics of it, it makes you look like a certain kind of woman. But the reality is you're not that woman. It's just that you never really put that soul tie to bed before you tried to move into a new situation. And so now you're out here looking like a cheater. You are cheating, but you're not really a cheater. You're just a woman that got caught up in some stuff where you didn't finish your business. You wasn't ready to move forward because you got to hurt enough. You got to hurt enough, and you have to be embarrassed enough, and you have to be degraded enough till you get to the point that you realize that I'm better than this. Point blank, you know, dude got to mess over you enough and embarrass you enough and degrade you enough and humiliate you enough till you wake up one day and say, I'm better than this, and I'm just not taking this no more. You haven't gotten there yet. That's why he keep swinging in and out of your life, doing the monkey bars on you, like he leaving, but then he's swinging back into your life. We talk about that in my book, The Father-Daughter Talk. You got to hurt more so that you can one day wake up and realize that I'm better than this. And when you wake up and realize that and you cut all of those ties, now you may be ready. Once you rediscover you and heal, now you're ready to say, okay, let me see what this thing is all about and let me embrace. Is this making sense? Proverbs 7:21-23 talks about this man that was smitten with this wicked woman. It says, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. with the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Isn't that how it works? When you have that soul tie, all they got to do is get you on the phone and just say a few words in your ear, and they can force you to do things that you never thought or didn't desire to do. It says he goeth after her. Thank you, Sabrina. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, going to lose his life. Or as a fool, correction of the ox. Thank you, Trina. Trina, I think it is. I hope I'm saying it right. Thank you. Or food to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasted to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. See, you have to get to a point where you can answer the question, have you truly detached from your past relationship? And if you still hung up on that soul tie, you still nosing in on that individual's life, and you know, this person still has a measure of control over you, that you're weak for them when they come around, or if they send you a little, you know, heart, you know, on the text message, that you melting and all of this kind of stuff. Just sad. Okay, number three. Thank you, Diamond. Number three, are you personally happy? I only have five. Are you personally happy? If you're not personally happy, you are not ready for love. Y'all forgetting to like my video? What's wrong with y'all? Are you personally happy? Are you personally happy? Let me tell you something. If you're sitting there right now and you're miserable, the answer to your life is not to go tie your life up to somebody else. Because if you are going to your own house, sleeping in your own bed without having to be concerned about anybody else's opinion, if you can get up and go wherever you want to go and your money is your money, and you can't be happy under those conditions, what makes you believe that you can be happy tying your life down to somebody else? Now you got to answer to somebody. Now they spending your money. You know, now you can't go where you want to go. You got to almost get permission. You know, you got to figure out what they want to do, where they trying to go. You can't stay out as long as you want. If you can't be happy under single conditions, what makes you think that you're going to be happy under marital conditions? Because the major difference between single folk and married, the major difference between single folk and married folk is you have sex. If you're a Christian and you hold any biblical ethics or standards to bear up in your life, rather, you know, there's a certain way we want to have sex. But apart from sex and ongoing companionship, if you can't be happy being single, there's no way in the world you're going to make me believe that you're going to be happy being married. I can't be happy by myself doing what I want to do. And so the answer to this is, okay, I'm going to get somebody else in my life that's going to put demands on me and have expectations of me. And I won't be able to do what I want to do. I'm going to have to do what they want to do a lot of the times. And I won't be able to spend my money the way I want to spend. I'm going to have to spend it the way they want. I'm going to have to, you know, help them keep the house the way they want to. Thank you, Denise. What makes you think? If you're not personally happy, the answer is not in creating a relationship. You're not ready. You're not ready. If you're not happy, you're not ready for a relationship. Because if you're not personally happy, it means you have nothing to really add to another person. And all you're doing is you're transporting your drama into somebody else's story. And you're expecting out of them something that only God can provide. Only you and God can create happiness. Honestly, genuine happiness is not created by anything or anyone outside of you and God. Material things will not make you happy. Money will not make you happy. other people will not make you happy. They can aid you in your happiness, but your happiness has to be self-generated. This is the thing we're missing. And so you think, well, I planned this fabulous wedding and I spent all of this ridiculous money that I can't afford to spend. And I throw this massive party and that's going to make me happy. Or I go and buy this major, this big car with this big price tag. And I drive down the street and nobody even really pays attention to me. That's going to make me happy. That stuff only lasts for a minute. And the Bible says in Psalm 114 and 15, the Bible says, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Happiness is something spiritual that has to happen between you and your relationship with God. This is why, as this generation moves further and further away from God, it's less happy. This is a miserable generation. You know, hate all things spiritual, that want nothing to do with things. I understand the disdain for religion. I understand how men have messed that up. But you have to be able to separate religion from God. And you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You can't throw God out because you don't like the way we do it at the Baptist church. And then you can't really lump every church together. And because this is a generation that is trying to throw God out, it's a miserable generation. You got more money, you got more things, and yet you're miserable. It's because happiness is an inside job. And it's not something that you can fabricate with some bogus relationship. All right. My numbers are moving rather slow tonight, but I'm about to get out of here. Maybe Friday night is not my night. Number four. Do you have control? Are you ready for love? Do you have control? Number four. Are you ready? Do you have control over, or do you have control of your sexual impulses? Do you have control of your sexual impulses? If you don't have control of your sexual impulses, I venture to say that it's very dangerous for you to try to form any kind of relationship, because that relationship will be, in most cases, it will be informed by the lustful perspective of your sexuality that is out of control. So in other words, you see a woman that looks exactly the way you want her to look. And if you're a man, you know what I'm talking about. And it's like all of this, these hormones rush to your brain and you just, your intellect just explodes. You have no common sense and you just love this woman. You love her, you love her, you love her, you love her. Woman can't think her way out of a wet paper bag, but oh, I just love her, because your attraction is being informed by your out of control sexuality. And the same thing goes for a woman. You see a man that just does that for you, and your attraction is driven by that, because you don't have control of your sexual impulses. If you don't have the discipline to control your sexuality as a single, you may not have the discipline to be in a monogamous commitment. Now, what do I mean by that? If you don't have enough control of your sexuality to remain abstinent as a single, what makes you think you're going to have the discipline to remain faithful as a married? If I say to a woman, I can't control myself. I just, you know, we both Christians, so it means we have a certain ethic we live by, or whatever, you know, your religion may be. And you have that ethic that, you know, sex is reserved for marriage. And then I say to you, well, I can't control myself. I got to have it. Well, that same lack of control that won't let me abstain as a single man is the same lack of discipline that won't let me abstain from adultery. So if I don't have control of my sexual impulses, I am clearly not emotionally mature enough for real love. All of y'all that's sitting there and you know, you just heated, you want to have sex so bad, and you claim to be a Christian, and you are, I'm not going to say that like I'm talking, you are, because I mean, I've been there. I mean, sincerely saved, love God and all that, just didn't have that part of me under control. You a Christian and you ain't got that together? That's a sign that you need to spend more time developing you. Because until you can get to the point where you can walk in a room and see somebody that's fine, and keep all of that in context and be able to walk out of that room with your sexuality in place, you're not ready yet. Because the same thing that would drive you to be out of control as a single, because you see somebody that's just there, is the same thing that's going to, when you get married, you're going to become familiar with stuff. You're going to go out in the street, you're going to see something new. That's the same thing that's going to drive you to be attracted to that. So if you don't have control of your sexual impulses, you're not ready for love yet. You're not mature enough. You're not safe enough. You're not safe enough. And that, I mean, hey, everybody at their level, no judgment, no pressure. But you got to know these things. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and 22, flee also youthful lust. Youthful, childish lust, in other words. These are things that people that are immature deal with, is what Paul is saying to the young preacher. Flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith and charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee youthful lust. These are things that we dealt with when we were immature. And that doesn't speak necessarily of chronology as much as it speaks of emotional maturity. Right? Okay, number five, and I'm out. What time is it, Lee? What time? Oh, I got to go. I'm 15 minutes late. Number five, have you figured out what you don't need? Have you figured out what you don't need? This is number five. Am I ready for love? Have you figured out what you don't need? Because in many cases, we have not drawn a distinction between the lust of our hearts and our true needs. This is why you say, okay, I hear y'all say all the time, ain't no good men out here. Ain't no good men out here. Man, that's so cynical. Wow, Jesus. You know, that's really cynical. You talking about pessimistic. They're no good. Ain't no good. All of them dogs. Well, you know, I'm a man. I'm a reformed dog. I admit I was one. God changing dudes now. And all dudes ain't like I was, and all dudes are not dogs. Got a lot of them that are dogs. But the reason you keep ending up with dogs is because you have not really figured out what you don't need. And so you keep getting rid of what you don't need, going back and choosing the same thing again, because you've not grown between your ears. That's the truth. Now, you know, you may hang up on me and not unsubscribe, but the truth is you keep fishing in the same pond. If everything you catching is a dog, you may be a dog catcher, my brother would say. Let me blame it on him. If everything you catching is a dog, you may very well be a dog catcher. You have not figured out what you don't need. And see, because you've not figured out what you don't need, you have not submitted to what you really do need. Because some of you know what you need. You see what you've gotten the last three times out. And now you're looking at exactly what you need, but because it doesn't give you that tingle, you know, I don't feel that tingle. That sexual thing is what I'm talking about. I'm not going to deal with him. He doesn't have enough swag for me. That's been your problem. Every dude you've had has had swag and fleas. Swag and fleas. Swag and fleas. But you keep choosing them. Because you have not figured out what you don't need. Until you figure out what you don't need, you cannot make a wise decision about what you do need. So sit down. Take a seat. Take a seat. In fact, don't even take a seat. Lay down. Tuck yourself in and go to sleep. Relax yourself until you figure it out. Because you ain't ready. You ain't ready for no love. That's why the wrong dudes keeps creeping into your life. The Bible says, you silly women, dudes creep into your life. That the Bible said. That called certain women silly. Undignified. Always learning, but never able to apply what they've learned. Because you haven't figured out what you don't need. And the Bible says in 1 John 2:16-17, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. That's what you operating with. The lust of the eye, lust of the flesh and the pride of life. You haven't figured out what you don't need. So you really can't appreciate what you do need. Which means you are not presently, you're not ready. Let me pray for you and I got to go. Father, I thank you for this time that I've had with your people. I ask that you would just give them wisdom and peace, God. Some are in some real desperate positions. And I ask you now, Father, to give them a sense of rest and peace. Give them a sense, God, of hopefulness. That all is not lost. God, let them know that we all fall down, but we get up. We make mistakes, but we correct them and we get better. And I thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you all got something out of this. I would love for you to share this on your social media platforms. If you have Facebook or whatever, share the links and give me some thumbs up, some likes. On this video. Also, don't forget to stop by Amazon, pick up my books. And those of you in Europe, we are on our way there in just a little over a month. We'll be in London, England with Queenology. And we've added something to the registration. We've made registration for certain of you more affordable. We have now the VIP registration, which is inclusive of Friday night. That's dinner with Lisa and I, Q&A, you know, we're going to sign books. We're going to take selfies and we're going to do all of that. The Queenology packet, all of that's a part of that. And Saturday, of course, is included in that. But now we have the registration is just for Saturday. That's where we deal with. That's where we have the 4 to 5 hour intensive on the 5 tenets of Queenology. So for those of you who couldn't afford the whole deal for the weekend, You can register now just for Saturday. I'm going to put those links below so that you can just hit the link. You can register, do the VIP, or you can do the Saturday only, and it'll make it a lot more affordable. It's just costing us a lot of money to bring Queenology to London. It's just costing a lot. And so we're looking forward. I'm excited about those of you that are registered. Oh, man, Lisa and I, we can't wait to get there to meet you and to throw our arms around you and share this with your brothers and sisters around Europe. One dear heart emailed me today from France, and she's going to try to make it for Saturday. I'm so excited about that. Also, for those of you that need counseling of any kind, you know, I always say to you, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a counselor, I'm not a psychologist. Well, of late, I've been able to partner with a group called Better Help. And this is an online counseling service where you have access to a person 24/7. It's from what I've seen, it's affordable. You can choose if you want to have Christian counseling or faith-based counseling. You can have that. Therapists of all kind to help you with whatever your situation is. I'm going to also put that link because those are the people that I partner with now. For those of you that need that kind of professional, extensive help with certain things. I'm going to put that link in the description as well. When you use that link, you get 10% off of whatever their cost is. So I love you all. I thank God for you, and I'm looking forward to having a tremendous rest of 2020 with you.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like more information or for other resources, please visit us on the web at rcblakes.com.